So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a Union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
And guess where this additional billion gallons of biofuel is going to come from? It's going to come from abroad. That's not an American First energy policy. We're in this together. Labor's in this. Building trades are in this. Refiners are in this. American consumers need us to do this too.
Now across the Jacob Media Network, welcome to the Labor and Energy Show special, exclusively presented by the PBF Energy Paulsboro Refinery and the PBF Delaware City Refinery, in collaboration with the labor unions that build our communities.
If you fix this RINs issue, you're looking at a reduction of 25 to 30 cents a gallon.
This is the Labor and Energy Show, bringing labor leaders, national experts, and political influencers together to educate you about fancy terms like RINs and RGGI, while explaining the truth about energy independence. Welcome to the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause.
Across the Jacob Media Network, welcoming everyone to another edition of the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. J-Doc, before we begin, a question for you. A one-word answer. How many years now have we been educating the public on this platform, the Labor and Energy Show?
So we're going on four years now.
All right, so we're going into our fourth year. Big announcement today, J-Doc, and I'll let you talk about it. The Labor and Energy Show is now available on Apple TV, Roku TV, and Fire TV through a partnership with NetStream. Big stuff for the continued expansion as we continue to reach the masses and deliver educational content right here on the Labor and Energy Show.
And so, Joe, I couldn't be more excited about that. And a big part of our goal is expanding the platform and educating the public. This new partnership with NetStream Networks, okay, that allows us to be available and accessible on Apple TV and Fire TV and, of course, Roku TV is huge for us. And so I'm glad you mentioned it, obviously, because it just gives us, another way to reach the masses. And we couldn't be more excited about it. We still have our radio platform and our digital platform. So couldn't be more excited, buddy.
Yeah, 365 degrees of saturation here at the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. Good show lined up today, J-Doc. Set the table for the listening audience.
Yeah, Joe. So today we have Michael Stavala back on the program, president and CEO of Suburban Propane Partners and Suburban Renewables. This is our educational broadcast on propane. Okay, what people should know about propane, but they don't. And it's really amazing. Michael has been on the show previously, and when you think about propane, you think about your barbecues and it's a big part of our life. But what we learned, okay, is that it's a major source of energy across the planet, and it powers so much more than our barbecue, okay? And it's an incredible source, and we felt strong enough in our educational broadcast initiative, to do a full show on, again, educating people on what they should know about propane, what they don't, the facts. And there's nobody that I can think of more than Michael Stavala to bring that and deliver that message. So really excited about it, Joe. People should sit down and listen. And if you're driving or wherever you're consuming the information, you wanna be here for this. And by the way, we're going to learn a lot about Suburban Propane and Suburban Renewables because propane is a big part of the energy transition. It's a big part of our traditional energy as well. So it's going to be a fantastic broadcast.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We'll get started. If you're listening on 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia, we thank you for being there. Don't forget, we do also upload all of our shows to Apple or Spotify. So if you consume content via the podcast version, you'll find this show posted there as well. This is the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. We'll get started after the break.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Labor and Energy Show, proudly presented by PBF Energy, also EQT Corporation, American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers, and Monroe Energy.
First chartered in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420. Jim Snell, Business Manager.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. That's why Labor First works with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising the member experience. Retirees can stay stress-free by calling a dedicated healthcare advocate to guide them through their health plans and answer questions. And now Labor First is excited to introduce Health Active, a new solution for active employees and early retirees. Health Active offers the same trusted advocacy support tailored to meet the unique needs of today's active workforce. To learn more, visit laborfirst.com.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the Labor Union Community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show on the Jacob Media Network. I couldn't be happier than to have Mike Stavala back on the broadcast. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be back, Joe Doc. Hey, congratulations on being picked up by some additional streaming programs, and really great to see the podcast taking off the way it is. And you guys are doing an amazing job, so congratulations.
Well, we, you know, and thank you for that. And of course, we have great guests like yourself that have helped that process. And you know, I can't. You were on the show recently, I believe, back in March, and the education and the information that you provided. Okay, really blew us away, really, because propane, you know, people would think and it is. It's a big part of our social life. And they, you know, we typically, stereotypically, you know, think about it for our barbecues and you know, it's a big part of our life. But we learn so much more. Okay, it's a part of the transition. It's a part of our primary traditional energy resources. And so, we couldn't be happier to have you back on the program. But before we get started, Mike, remind our listeners, if you will, a little bit about yourself and your pathway and role as president and CEO of Suburban Propane and Suburban Renewables.
Yeah, great. Thanks, J-Doc. So I started my career over, I guess, 35 years ago, in public accounting. So I did 10 years in public accounting with, back then it was Coopers and Lybrand, and then PricewaterhouseCoopers. And then I joined Suburban in 2001 in the finance area as the controller, and then ultimately CFO in 07. And then I took over as CEO in 2014. So just finished, September, just finished 10 years running the company. And I'm really proud of that journey. Really proud of my career here at Suburban Propane. One of the things that that I think we may have talked about before, but the longevity of people at Suburban Propane is really an incredible thing. Something that we're always very proud to tout. You know, we have almost 30% of our employees have been with us for more than 15 years, and it's just an incredible culture, and it's certainly something that I'm proud to be a part of for the past 24 years and to be driving for the last 10. You know, Suburban Propane is a great story. We founded the whole concept of home delivery of propane gas back in 1928. It was our original entrepreneurial founder moved out to the suburbs, and his wife did not want to cook with electricity. She needed gas, but they didn't have natural gas lines out to where they moved. And so he developed the concept of bottling gas and delivering it and being able to provide that gas source. And so, you know, almost 100 years later, here we are. Suburban Propane is the third largest distributor of propane in the country. We're in 42 states and we serve a million customers.
And so as we talk about Suburban, and it is an awesome story, and I want to get a little bit more into you know, the history of the company, the stability, okay? You know, it has a long legacy, okay? And when you talk about, you know, how it became the first propane provider in the U.S., okay, with nearly 100 years in the industry, how in a sense, has Suburban Propane evolved to serve over a million customers in 42 states? First thing I would say, and this is just, you know, from a success standpoint, great leadership. But if you would talk about it, that would be it would be fantastic.
You know, the industry is very challenging. It's very, very fragmented. There's thousands and thousands of small businesses. And then there's big companies. There's three of us now, like Suburban Propane, that are multi-state and in as many states as we are. And so it's very fragmented, very mature, obviously being almost a 100-year-old industry. And so it's highly competitive. But one of the things that we've been successful at is Suburban Propane's always been known as sort of best-in-class operators. And that's what's allowed us to have the kind of longevity that we have as a company, to be able to sustain ourselves, to be able to attract good people, to be able to provide good careers and have a culture where people just want to stay here. And that culture has really served us well over the years in terms of being able to attract acquisition opportunities, consolidate the industry over the course of just my 24-year career. I've been part of deploying almost $3 billion of capital to do acquisitions, to consolidate the industry, as well as to start to transition into the renewable space with the creation of Suburban Renewables, which I know we'll talk about later in the show. But so it's really a function of being terrific operators, having a good reputation, having opportunities to consolidate, and then having the discipline and the capital in order to be able to go out and grow the business.
And so when you talk about it, so Suburban Propane is publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange. Talk a little bit about the company's financial strength and what your current market cap reflects about the company's stability.
So, you know, we're a bit of a unique public company. We're one of what used to be about 150. Now it's down to only about 40 companies that are publicly traded partnerships. And we were one of the original publicly traded partnerships that went public in 1996. And we're actually a really interesting investment vehicle because we're a partnership. So we as a company don't pay taxes, and our investors are partners, and therefore we pay a fairly sizable dividend, which is really a distribution, and that dividend is not taxed. You pay tax at a later date. Typically your tax is insulated for the first 5 or 7 years of ownership of the stock. So, you know, our tax deferred yield hovers around 6 to 6.5%. And one of the things that we pride ourselves on is financial discipline. And so we have a very strong balance sheet. We try not to get too far ahead of our skis when we're looking at strategic opportunities. We're not bet the ranch kind of people. We're pretty conservative in the way we think about the business. We're conservative about the way we think about deploying capital and taking risk. And so I think we've always been able to provide our investors with a security that it's a pretty safe, high dividend, tax deferred investment vehicle a lot of retired individuals have historically relied upon as an income stream in their portfolio. So it's something that we're really proud of, and it starts with a very financially disciplined mindset of our leadership.
Mike, how many employees? How many people do you employ?
About 3,300.
Okay, and so what I always, it's interesting. I'm not a financial buff or anything like that, but I do, you know, when people. A lot of times you hear, you know, on the news, employers and owners don't pay taxes. I subscribe to the fact that you're employing thousands of people. Okay, they're paying taxes, right? In other words, so the contribution to the tax base is, vast, to say the least. Talk about that, and talk about the 3,300 employees and the jobs that you provide. Okay. When you mention, the first thing I think of when you talk about 30% retention for like 15, 20 years or more, is the culture at the firm. Your company is providing jobs, but they're careers. Okay. The family sustaining jobs with great wages and benefits. Talk about the importance of that, really, and to the culture of the company, and the fact that I never know why. I'm a big Dem, okay, and I'm a labor guy and all that. But whenever I hear somebody and I'm only elaborating on what you said, whenever I hear somebody talking about a big employer not paying taxes, I shake my head a little bit and I go, well, your employees 110,000 people. They're all paying taxes, okay? Now, that doesn't apply to you exactly. But I'm just saying, talk about that workforce you have and the culture and the family sustaining jobs that you provide that impact the tax base greatly.
Yeah, so don't get me wrong. We do pay taxes, but as a partnership, it's our investors ultimately pay the tax. So
sure.
It's the thousands and thousands of investors in Suburban Propane that get a K-1 at the end of every year as opposed to a 1099. And they ultimately pay the taxes, and we pay local taxes. Obviously, we pay all the payroll taxes. But as far as the people, so we are a very deep blue collar business. Okay, of those 3,300 employees, we have about 1,000 drivers, about 600 service technicians that are out there on the road every single day. Visiting customers, making deliveries, making service calls, and meeting the energy needs of our customers when they need us the most. And then we have a heavy presence of back office reps in each of our locations that are experts in helping our customers work through work through whatever their needs are, and they're answering the phones at the local level. So the vast majority of our 3,300 employees are at the local level. It's a hyper local business. They're taking care of their community, and we provide very, very competitive wages, a great benefit program, a great 401k with a great company match, and I think beyond that, the biggest thing that we provide is. We provide that family-oriented culture that really attracts people to want to stick around. And because we're hyper-local, our local teams can range from 8 employees to 30 employees. And that family culture in that local, what we call customer service centers, is really what drives the longevity of our people to want to stick around and be part of that team serving the local community. I like to say, as much as we're a big public company, we are a blue collar leadership team that's leading a blue collar workforce.
And the stability of we're talking about nearly 100 years. Okay, anybody in any economy, that is such a a source of security and such, and when there's nothing more important, especially when you're retaining employees and have that family atmosphere and culture, who are, and give me an idea, the variety of who are your customers? What the range of customers?
Yeah. The beauty of propane is it's so versatile. So, about 50% of our volume is with residential customers. So that's customers that use us from anything for their whole house, which means home heating, cooking, clothes drying, water heating, you name it. All the energy source for the home can be served with propane. And then we have some residential customers that maybe have a different energy source for some of their heat load, but they need us as a supplemental energy source for more remote aspects of their home, like their pool heater, and so 50% of our customers or our volumes comes from the residential customer. But then the rest of it is everything from commercial businesses like restaurants and laundromats and anywhere that you can think that needs heat and hot water and cooking that may not have either access to natural gas directly piped in, or just the convenience of having propane delivered directly to them. And then we have a very big agricultural community. We do a lot of farms. We do a lot of the wineries out in the West Coast, and frankly, on the East Coast. We do a lot of the ports. So the port activities, whether it's forklifts, whether it's some of the drayage equipment that's now running on propane. We do school buses and a lot of local local municipality type trucks where you actually have a depot where the trucks or the cars are pulling in and they can fuel themselves, where we can provide a tank in the yard with a dispenser and they can dispense to their vehicle. And propane is actually the third most common source of auto gas to power vehicles. So so it's highly diverse. We serve a lot of the government community. We have a lot of government contracts for different many different applications. But so the beauty of propane is the fact that it's truly a versatile energy source that can serve so many different applications, and it can be on demand and wherever it needs to be. We can set a tank, we can get a delivery to that tank, and you'll be up and running in a matter of a half a day.
So you're the company's in four. It's you service over a million customers, correct?
That's right.
42 states. Okay.
Right.
And understand, I mean, there's a level of, and it's definitely, I get the blue collar, culture and the team and all, but there's a level of sophistication that's pretty huge in regards to understanding your customers, right? Especially, okay, in the internet, era and in digital. And so in other words, and I don't mean this, but an elderly lady who knows how to use the internet in Des Moines, Iowa, right? If they're depending on their propane, now there's all kinds of tools to sit there. And you guys have been very successful there. Talk about the importance of customer first with that kind of community and the tools that are out there in this landscape. It's awesome. But it's also it leads to a responsibility that you guys have been able to really succeed with. Talk about understanding your customers and the importance of it across the board.
That's a great question because given the fact that propane is so versatile and so many different applications, there is no one size fits all. So our people, and that's part of the beauty of having the longevity that we do, our people are experts in what they do. It's our drivers are very technical. Our service techs are amazing, right? Let's face it, we are dealing with an energy source that can be volatile, right? I mean, you do have to, safety is our number one priority. And you could ask any employee. I think we do a great job of communicating just how important safety is for their well-being, for the well-being of our customers, and for the well-being of the communities that we serve. So that kind of commitment to safety first is the absolute paramount for our delivery. And so training our drivers, training our techs, training our reps to even handle the phone and handle customers that may be having a problem and trying to work them through the right steps to take is a critical component of how we train our people and which is why it's so important to have people that have been doing it for a long time. But certainly the versatility of propane brings complexity because every single customer's usage pattern and usage type is going to be very different. So we have to be able to understand who we're dealing with, what application it is, and be able to adapt accordingly.
No question. And I don't know if we got into the safety discussion on the last show, but I'm really glad we did, because when you say safety first, and obviously we have a lot of building trades people. I remember when I was a union iron worker out in the field, we had a saying, one hand for the company, one hand for yourself. Safety is always first. We want people, obviously, coming home the way they went into work. And you guys have prioritized not only that, but obviously you have the element of the customer. Okay. And that's such an important part of it. And when you talk about the training, okay, talk about that, if you will. We're going to take a quick break fairly soon, but the training that the team and the employees get, okay, because again, you talk of, it's an energy source. So, address that a little bit.
Yeah, so we have a great safety department. We have safety technicians, you know, regional experts around the country that are out there training and providing technical support to our drivers and service techs, you know, all the time. Obviously, new employees, like new drivers and techs, go through a very rigorous training program before we get them out in the road. But after that, we do a ton of training and communication through our safety department.
Fantastic. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We're going to have more from the Labor and Energy Show, and our guest, Mike Stavala, a CEO of Suburban Propane and Renewables, in just a minute.
What's a Boilermaker? We're the skilled welders, riggers, and craftspeople who will help you grow your competitive edge. We step up when others step back, and we do the job right, on time, on budget, and safely. No drama, just results, every time. We're the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, and everything we do begins with our bond. Let's get to work together. Visit bestintrade.com.
Pat Lee Hackey has become part of my morning prayers.
I was a full-time nurse, just lifting up a patient.
A tractor trailer came up behind this, pushed us right through.
Right off the bat, you just felt comfortable. I felt somebody had my back.
He says, I'm going to do everything that I can do for you.
You guys are amazing. I love you.
Call Pond Lahaki Giordano, highly rated Philadelphia workers' compensation attorneys.
First chartered in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, Business Manager.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy special are being supported by the members of the labor union community, including Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, Business Manager, the Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters,
and the United Steelworkers.
Welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show here on the Jacob Media Network. Our guest is Mike Stavala, CEO of Suburban Propane and Suburban Renewables. Having a great conversation about propane and the company, okay, and the commitment. We're talking about a company who was, almost 100 years old with an outstanding track record, serving over a million people and customers over 42 states. But what really is amazing is the versatility of propane as an energy source, okay? Yes, it still powers our barbecues and I have several bottles or containers on my deck, but until recently, I really did not understand the versatility of propane. Okay, and as an energy source that far exceeds the use of a lot our domestic uses as part of our social events and all those things. So, Mike, when you took over, as CEO and president. Okay, talk about your vision. Okay, because we have a lot of discussions on this broadcast about the importance of our traditional energy resources. Okay, our petrochemicals, our natural gas, our mining communities and the incredible standards of efficiency, environmental. Standards here in America as compared to across the world, okay? And renewables are obviously they're a major part of the market, okay? And we all support them, but working together, okay, is incredibly important, okay, for so many reasons. But the energy transition, as we talk about renewables, is if you're in the energy business and the fuel business, has to be at the top of your mindset. Talk about your vision, okay, when you became the president and CEO in regards to the company, okay, and we're going to talk about the transition. But, talk about when you first started at that level.
Yeah, so back when I took over in 2014, one of our strategies was always the fact that propane itself is a mature industry. You know, there's not a tremendous amount of new growth opportunities to penetrate new applications. Although I will say that we have done a good job innovating over the past few years, more so than the industry has in decades prior. However, a lot of those gains are also offset by the fact that you have efficiency gains in home appliances, home construction. So that naturally reduces the amount of energy or propane, in our case, needed to do the job. So generally, propane usage has been pretty flat. And so we're always focused on, and the other aspect of propane is because of the heat-related component, there is a weather, you know, yes, we're very versatile, but there is a big component for residential heating that is dependent on the weather. And so you're going to have winters that are warm, and you're going to have winters that are cold, and that's going to change the amount of usage that occurs. And so we always had a philosophy and a strategy that we have a great business, we run it really well, and we generate a fair amount of cash flow to reinvest in the business. And we were always focused on finding other energy-related businesses to invest in that could benefit from our operating prowess. In 2019, we launched our Go Green initiative, which changed the strategy from trying to find a diversification play within traditional energy to a dual strategy of making sure that we preserve propane's role as a clean energy source. So advocating for propane as a solution for clean energy of the future. But with advocacy, we need to innovate be part of the future of energy solutions. And so that was the launch of Suburban Renewables to begin to also invest in and acquire renewable energy businesses that we could leverage our core competencies of safety experts, logistics experts, and customer service experts to be able to deliver the future of renewable energy in the traditional way that we deliver energy today.
And so, obviously, a lot of people may not realize propane is considered a clean energy source. Okay, explain what makes propane environmentally friendly.
So, propane itself is a byproduct of production from crude oil refining and natural gas processing. So, in the process of because it's a byproduct, the dirtier aspects of those base fuels get cleaned out by the time you get to the propane byproduct. And so there's virtually no nitrous oxide and sulfur oxides and particulate matter, which are the components that generate the greenhouse effect, right? So propane itself does not have the type of contaminants that drive the greenhouse gas effect, and it's been acknowledged as a clean energy source by the Clean Air Act. So it has a very low carbon intensity score relative to other diesel, gasoline, crude oil, and frankly. Better carbon intensity, less carbon intensity than the electric grid in the vast majority of states throughout the country. So as we talk about energy transition, the electrification seems to dominate the conversation. But the reality is propane itself, one, is so much more versatile and more reliable because you're not relying on the grid to be there at all times. But it's also less carbon intensive than the electric grid. I'll give you another interesting new use of propane that we're starting to get very deep into, and that's charging, providing the energy to charge electric vehicle charging stations. So for some of the environmentally focused people that think that electrification means that we've solved the lower, bringing fossil fuels out of the equation, the reality is electrification can't get the job done. It's not reliable enough. It's not resilient enough. And as more and more demand comes onto the electric grid, that's just going to get more challenging. And so propane is behind the scenes providing that resiliency for electric charging stations. So think about it. If you think about that, it makes a lot of sense for who we are, because it's truly an on-demand energy source that we can drop a tank out in a remote location where there's a charging station for electric vehicles. We can deliver to that tank whenever it needs to. We can predict when it's going to when it's going to need propane and get out there before it runs out. And nobody even knows that that's behind the scenes.
It's interesting, too, because the infrastructure we do not have yet in regards to electric vehicles, okay, threatens the grid. You have grid operators jumping up and down going, there has to be an all of the above, plan. And so, when you talk about electric vehicles, we all support them, but the mandates, were a problem. Mike, let me ask you a question, okay? From an education standpoint, okay? Because this is the first time I've heard that, okay? How important is education and educating the public on stuff like this? Because you have an extreme element out there that might jump right in your face and go, no chance, right? Because they don't know. Okay, by the way, common sense and energy is a big part of what we do.
Yeah.
And I talk about America's energy security and, a lot of those byproducts and a lot of the other sources of energy. Here in America, we do it so much more environmentally, friendly, number one, and efficiently across the board. That's why at least we can control the standards, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's an element out there that would have us shut ourselves down, and then we'd be dependent on our foreign adversaries to do that. That is an extreme conversation, but it's being it's the pushback that comes every day in your world. Like, that's an amazing thing what you just said. How important is education? Okay, talking about the opportunity to obviously fuel the electric vehicle power station. And how many people don't know that?
Yeah, no, I think education, especially today, as you say, the extreme conversation on both sides, that one side that says we just have to rely on fossil fuels, and the other side that says we just have to rely on electrification. We need everything, and I think it's an education of obviously consumers, which you're doing a good job on this show of getting that reach out to your audience to have interesting topics. Hopefully this is interesting. Have interesting topics like this that are doing a good job of educating. But what I would also say is bigger than consumer education is unfortunately there's a very heavy regulatory hand in the energy conversation. And so, we try to do as good a job as we can to get out to regulators and legislators and get the word out. Because just as you just said about the not knowing just how versatile propane was, that's the same with politicians and regulators. They equate it to the barbecue cylinders and barbecue grills. So we need a lot of education to just get the word out about propane's role today, its clean attributes, and its role tomorrow as a real solution. Unfortunately, some of those extreme views exist in policymakers, and they don't want to listen to that. And what I fear the most is that, we go down a path to say that there is going to be a solution for electrification. And as you said, the infrastructure is just not there. And frankly, I would say we're never going to be able to keep up, because the amount of demand being placed on the electric grid is increasing exponentially with the advent of
AI,
AI data centers. I mean, the numbers are staggering, the amount of electric demand that is going to come from that. And we're already talking about how far behind our electric grid is just to get to where we need to be today.
Well, so, when I think with everything you're talking about right now, okay, in a sense, it makes me want to just sort of jump through the computer, through the screen and say, listen, propane, especially since it's a great source to obviously, power the electric vehicle charging stations, okay? And you mentioned the AI data centers, okay? The grid operators, have you had communications, obviously, with the grid operators? And, I mean, they should be jumping up and down going, okay, with all this stuff coming, we need as much infrastructure. And this seems like it would be a great part of the infrastructure. Talk about growing the industry in areas you couldn't even imagine at this point. Okay, it's facing this. We're hearing about it every day. Any conversations in that direction?
Yeah, I would say I'm more excited today than I have ever been about the conversations that we're having with different constituents, whether it's other energy providers and utilities, whether it's some of the non-government entities that are out there testing out different applications and starting to really drive innovation to lower carbon intensity and realizing the role that propane can play. When we may get into it too, I know we talked about it in our last meeting was our relationship with NASCAR. Even they had an acknowledgement that as part of their sustainability initiatives, propane was going to be a major role because it's powerful. It gets the job done from a power perspective, from a clean energy perspective, from a liability perspective, and it actually reduced their carbon footprint. So the conversations we're having, whether it's with politicians, whether it's regulators, whether it's users, it's been a welcoming a welcoming change to the types of conversations we were having 5 years ago even.
And so let's spitfire a little bit, because we only have a few minutes left. I definitely want to get heavier into the NASCAR relationship. We did touch on it last broadcast. Talk about suburban renewables. Okay, what investments have you made in the renewable propane and renewable natural gas RNG? Okay, and tell us a little bit more about your three RNG facilities. Including the one in Stansfield, Arizona, that feeds directly into the national pipeline.
Yeah, so we are a part of our renewable energy platform. We have renewable propane, which is a direct drop-in replacement for propane. We don't need to change anything out. And the carbon intensity of propane is about 81. Just to put that into context, the carbon intensity of diesel and gasoline is up around 110 or so, 114. So a dramatic reduction compared to those. Even the electric grid in, say, California is between 80 and 85. So we're very competitive, even just in California, which is the most progressive energy policies. And renewable propane can have a carbon intensity ranging in the 20 to 40 range, so depending on what the feedstock is. So if you think about the dramatic reduction in carbon intensity of an energy source that is a direct drop-in replacement, and we're selling, all of what we're selling now is in California because that's where a lot of the incentives are, but our customers will take as much renewable propane as we can get them because it's a logical immediate reduction of carbon. So that's a commitment we have, is to get as much renewable propane as we can. It is a byproduct of renewable sustainable aviation fuel production or renewable diesel production, so we can't control how much we get, but we do have a pretty sizable amount of volume we're selling today. And then we did acquire a renewable natural gas platform. We have one of the largest facilities in Stanfield, Arizona, where we take dairy manure from 55,000 dairy cows in the local area there and process it through an anaerobic digestion process that allows the bacteria to do its job to separate the solids from the gas. And we capture the biogas off of that, and we upgrade it to pipeline quality renewable natural gas, and we inject it into a pipeline right adjacent to our facility, and then we sell it to one of the large fuel providers in the country, in the world, actually. And so that's, again, renewable natural gas is also a direct drop-in replacement for traditional natural gas. So, natural gas, propane gas, both very clean, and the renewable versions of those are dramatically cleaner, and you don't have to change out anything. So we're very proud of that facility. We have two others that are being constructed or capital is being deployed. One is in Columbus, Ohio, where we're taking food waste from the community, and we're processing that into biogas, and we're currently upgrading that to also convert biogas to renewable natural gas. And then we're constructing a facility in upstate New York at a smaller dairy farm where we'll take manure from about 4,000 head of cattle and produce renewable natural gas up in upstate New York.
So, certainly when you think about the future and the portfolio of energy resources and all of the above plan, obviously propane is going to be key to that. And so the success of the company and the vision that you're sharing, Mike, is such a big deal. I want to touch, we got about a minute and a half left, and man, I got about six pages left of my kind. So we could do show 2, 3, and 4.
You're always fun, J Doc. So it's good.
Well, I mean, you know what? We try to do it in layman's terms and common sense so people can listen and understand. I'd love to, pick your brain and say, when did you start getting into the science from an accountant, okay, to the science of it, because you got it down pretty damn good. Touch base one more time on the NASCAR relationship and how that's been and where it's going.
Yeah, so we started that at the Daytona 500 this year in February. It's a multi-year contract. We are the official propane of NASCAR and Speedway Motorsports, which is the company that owns the vast majority of the tracks that run the NASCAR circuit. And so we are the official propane of both of those entities, which means that we provide propane for the entire track experience. And that means the concession stands, the campgrounds where the fans come to the passionate fans come to see the races. We provide propane for the RVs, for their cooking, for their showers. We're providing propane for keeping some of the tents warm in the cooler months of the season, where they collect tickets or and so forth. And then on the NASCAR side, they converted four of their kerosene track dryers, which is sort of the last leg of the track drying equipment, which is a very, very high powered, throws off a ton of BTUs to really do the last drying of the track to get the races going. They converted four of those from kerosene to propane to dramatically reduce their carbon footprint right on the track. So it's great to see our logo on these track dryers front and center at some major, major events. Obviously, it needs to rain for us to see it so that the track dryers come out to get the job done. But it's where the fans love it the most, because then they, when they see those, they know that the race is going to get back up and running. So it's a great relationship. It's a multi-year contract, and we've expanded it from, you know, what was originally, hey, we just need propane for our track dryers, to, hey, how about we just provide all the propane, because you don't even know how much propane you're probably using. And, you know, the reality is there are so many applications at every race that use propane.
So, Michael, you know, we didn't get a chance to get into the commitment of Suburban propane and Suburban Renewables, the commitment to the community engagement. I know it's a major priority. We talked about it the last time. We've run out of time, but we'll get back into it the next time. But it's just another part of the company that is, you know, such a commitment to, you know, not only our energy, but also, you know, the community. And so I want to thank you, Michael Stavala, CEO and President of Suburban Propane and Suburban Renewables, for being on the program and for, you know, spending some time with us and giving us the facts and details and doing what you're doing every day. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks, J-Doc. Good seeing you again.
It's always a pleasure. We're going to have more from the Labor and Energy Show.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
This edition of the Labor and Energy Show is proudly presented and sponsored by PBF Energy, Monroe Energy, National Mining Association, and the United Steelworkers. Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. That's why Labor First works with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising the member experience. Retirees can stay stress-free by calling a dedicated healthcare advocate to guide them through their health plans and answer questions. And now Labor First is excited to introduce Health Active, a new solution for active employees and early retirees. Health Active offers the same trusted advocacy support tailored to meet the unique needs of today's active workforce. To learn more, visit laborfirst.com.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits, and as part of our no-cost hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the labor union community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
And back here on the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. I let you run as long as I could, J-Doc, so we only have about a minute to wrap everything up on this edition. But a great conversation with Michael Stavala. Lot of information for the listening audience to consume, understand, and as you said, the mission of educating the public, it was part of this broadcast for sure.
No question, Joe. And you, so you learn something every day, okay? And again, we appreciate Mike Stavala for being on the program. They talked about, that was years ago, there was not room for a lot of growth. The innovativeness, okay? the growth that, you know, with propane, powering the, you know, the electric vehicle charging stations, okay? Probably going to be a big part of the support of our AI data centers and just a really educational discussion, okay? And like Mike said, we're talking about an all of the above energy strategy, okay, with, you know, when it comes to our traditional energy resources and our renewables. And propane, by the way, is both, okay? And so it's an absolute going to be a great part of our energy future. And certainly we're appreciative to Mike.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.